in the nutrition side, we're doing balance on amino acids. We're balancing fatty acids, studying all these additives we have on the industry. We have monensin and we have yeast and we have lots of additives that we can include in the diets, right? But sometimes when you are on the field and when you're working with farmers and producers, cattle producers, sometimes they don't need that already. They're not in that level. The things that they are missing are the basics of the production. Let's say the water quality, the water availability, the bunk space, those kind of stuff. For me, it's very good to have that in mind. When you have all the basics together, then you can step up and go to the minor things.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
Kemin invites you to optimize animal feed quality and safety with our portfolio of solutions. Learn more at kemin.com/AG. Evonik, we are sciencing the global food challenge.
Welcome to the Feed Science Podcast brought to you by Wisenetics. I am Carlos Campabadal, dedicated to bringing you the latest insights and discussions in the feed science industry. Get ready to expand your knowledge and stay ahead of today's episode. So today I have the pleasure to have as a guest Juan Carlos Rojas Alvarado. He's actually a Colombian who works for a company called Beef Smart in Canada. So with that, Juan Carlos, welcome. Welcome to the Feed Science Podcast of Wisenetics. It is a pleasure having you here. So to start off, we're very curious to learn about what you do and how you got to where you are. So if you could just maybe start telling us a little bit about your background, your career as to where you got to where you are right now.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Carlos. And thank you for the invitation to this podcast. My name is Juan Carlos Rojas Alvarado. I was born in Colombia, and I was doing all my undergraduate under animal scientist. I finished that program on the year 2012-2013. And after that, I started to work in a feed mill. I always enjoyed the rumen and nutrition. So I worked in this feed mill for about a year and a half. It was a feed mill where we built supplements for dairy cows and beef cows as well, and some mineral. So that was my first experience. After that first and a half year of being there, my professor, which it was the one with which I did my thesis degree as undergraduate, he told me there's a space for you for a master's degree. If you're available, please go ahead. And I said, yes, I'm interested in that. So I went to the college and to the university again and did my master's in animal nutrition. The diploma says animal production, but it was, animal nutrition, the emphasis of that. So I worked there for 4.5 years. It was a pretty good project, actually. It took me longer than I expected, but I do not regret it at all. And after that, I started working with a company in Colombia that is called Gowan Feed Consulting. Gowan Feed Consulting, it's a company for animal nutrition. We have rumen and nutritionist and monogastric nutritionist. So I was a rumen and nutritionist in that company. And it's a company that is from Canada. So I worked there for 4.5 years. And after that, the general manager in Canada said, there's a space for you here. We want you to work from Canada and help us to develop the cattle industry in Canada. So in 2023, I came to Canada, and now it's been a good experience for me to working with cow-calf operations and now with mostly feedlots in the past couple months.
Great. No, perfect. Thank you very much for sharing your how you got where you are. And I'm just curious. So you Gowans and Beef Smart are the same company there in Canada? You just moved from the same one, but a different name over there to Canada?
Yes, exactly. So when I came to Canada, I was working for Gowan Feed Consulting Colombia. And actually, I'm still working for Gowans Feed Consulting Canada, but Gowans Feed Consulting has the monogastric side of the nutrition.
Okay.
And it's called Gowans Feed Consulting. For the ruminant side, BeefSmart and Gowans merge each other, and we have we left the name the same, like BeefSmart. So for the ruminant part, we are known as BeefSmart.
And you primarily work right now in Canada, correct? Or you still interact there with clients in Colombia or other parts of the world?
Yes. I'm still being in contact with Colombian clients. Some of the formulas are made by me for the Colombia side. But yeah, most of the work is for Canada now.
Great. No, this is very interesting as we learn the big industry that is in Canada and, of course, also in Colombia, in the ruminant side and beef cattle and dairy nutrition. And therefore, for our audience, if you like, please like us on our podcast today. We always like to hear from our audience and how we're doing. So, Juan Carlos, the very interesting on your work and your current to-do. So, being said that, let's go back to kind of like think a little bit from the technical perspective of what you do. Something that we're always curious as we interview people and we hear from the industry is ruminant nutrition production, because as you know, compared to monogastric, is a little bit smaller. Of course, chicken and pigs are usually bigger than dairy and beef cattle, but focusing on ruminant, we want to learn a little bit for our audience. Can you tell us a little bit about your concept of what does it mean going to the basics of ruminant nutrition and production?
Absolutely. Yes. Well, this is a topic that is very interesting to me, because when I was doing my undergraduate work and then my master's degree, I had a professor that always told me about like the research that is going out every single day. And we are really ahead on the research side. So we are doing, like, for in the nutrition side, we are doing balance on amino acids, right? And balance, we are balancing fatty acids, and we are studying all these additives we have on the industry. We have monensin, and we have yeast, and we have, well, lots of additives that we can include in the diets, right? But sometimes when you are on the field and when you're working with farmers and producers, cattle producers, sometimes they don't need that already. They're not in that level. So sometimes the things that they are missing are the basics of the production. So sometimes, let's say, the water quality, the water availability, the bunk space, those kind of stuff. So for me, it's very good to have that in mind, because when you have all the basics together, then you can step up and go to the minor things.
What you mean on the basic is that people, let's just say, not that people forget or farmers forget, but sometimes you don't consider the basics as water, weather, and other things that help. And then, you know, which is very important. I do agree. And we tend to do that also. I have a feed manufacturing background, so I always think about that. Also, we always have to go to the basics instead of thinking very technically until we have that level. So let's go more in depth into that. So what are those basic things that you would like that everybody to be aware of, especially, you know, somebody in Canada, somebody in Colombia, or any other part of the world?
Well, that's a very good question, because when we are doing some visits with cattle producers, they are always like, hey, what are we going to include in the supplement, or what are we are going to include in the diet to make this better, right? So when we are there, we can start from the basics. So, okay, let's look at the water availability. Let's look at the water quality. And then let's look at the dry matter intake of your animals. That's a very important thing to look at it. When we're dealing with Colombian producers, we have lots of grazing cattle out there. It's almost 100% of the cattle, dairy cattle and beef cattle as well, is on grazing, it's in paddocks. They think that supplementing, like the offering a supplement, is just enough for them to go up in the production, milk production, or increasing the average daily gain. But sometimes they don't look into the pastures, right? So they have, they don't know what is the quantity of the pasture. They don't know what is the amount they need. So I think on the grazing side, that would be a really key, one of the most important things. Look at the pasture. Look at the rotational days. How are you managing that? Here in Canada, well, the cow-calf operation is similar. There are a lot of grazing operations during the spring and summer. So again, like, do you have enough pasture? Do you have enough dry matter for your animals? Do you have like mineral supplement for those animals? And for the feedlot side, I will say sometimes you're looking into those minor things like additives again, but sometimes you're missing, for example, processing the grains. So you have the best diet. On the computer, you will see 4 pounds of gain per head per day, right? But you look at the bunks and everything is whole corn or whole barley. And then you look at the manure and you have, yeah, all the grains there. So you do not achieve those gains, right? Because even if you have the best mix, if you don't do the things right, you're not getting the nutrients of it, right? So I think those are the keys.
And that is very important. And for our audience, please, if you have any questions, please comment on the section there and let us know. And we could address any questions later to Juan Carlos or myself. So going back to the topic, this is something very important. And it gets me thinking a little bit. Of course, when you're in Canada and then you're Colombia, more tropical, semi-tropical weather, Canada a little bit more northern. So for our audience to understand in terms of pasture, for example, what are those quality specs that you have? You will tell in a calf cow operation, hey, look these parameters on pasture. What will be your recommendation for that?
Okay, perfect. Yeah, when we're taking samples for these cow calf operations or any like grazing operation in Colombia, we are looking for basically FDN, ADF, lignin, how well is the digestibility, how well is that digested. The protein, the crude protein is good to look at it, and the energy of the pasture. So those are the keys. Sometimes you can look at the minerals, the ashes, those kind of stuff, but those are secondary for me. The first thing that I look at it's like digestibility, protein, FDN, ADF, lignin, and energy.
Okay, very important. I didn't know all that, and I learned something new today. And same for our audience. If you learn something new today, please share the video. So just going back to that pasture, do you have any particular varieties or types of pasture that you would recommend for somebody, let's say, in South America, tropical weather, including Brazil, and or somebody in North America, Canada, maybe parts of the United States, even Mexico? What are those types that you think, hey, you know, I know it depends a lot on weather, but your favorite ones that you will say, hey, I think this is the one that will be better if you have the opportunity for a farmer to tell them to grow something specific?
That's a really good question and cool question, because we get that really often from producers, right? And the answer, unfortunately, is not general. Mm-hmm. It depends on where are you located, right? Because for us, like, the answer is grow the grass or the pasture or the crop that fits on your weather, on your land, on your geography, right? Because sometimes we try to introduce new species, and even they are good in some, like, yeah, some regions, they are not good in the region you're standing at, right? So
that's right.
I have an example for that. We have in Colombia, we have mountains, and the dairy production is high in the mountains. We have like 3 regions of dairy, and all of them are located in the mountains. We have in the lowlands as well, but the most important one, the specialized dairy cattle, is there. We have Holsteins and Jerseys and those kind of breeds. So from Bogota, or near to Bogota, the city where I was born, we have a pasture that is called Kikuyu grass. And that's a very easy grass to grow there, right? Probably is not the best one. It's not bad at all. Probably not the best one. Sometimes they try to introduce ryegrass, which is better. But sometimes the ryegrass needs more water, for example. So, okay, if you're in a region that has a good precipitation, okay, go with the ryegrass, right? But if you're in a region that it's lower in precipitation and your Kikuyu grass grows well, just stick with the Kikuyu and go with it. You can handle it well, you can manage those pasture, and you will have great results. And you will not be spreading against like weeds and trying to fertilize more than you need and those kind of stuff that actually makes your farming harder, right?
Yes, and that's very important. And I asked because of curiosity, but also, as you know, I'm originally from Costa Rica, and my family, actually, we have a cow-calf operation, and we did faces those challenges of what to grow there, and we ended up using king grass and bracaria and others, but it's always a challenge, especially you're in drier, drought tendency locations.
Oh, yeah.
So, very important on that. So, looking into that, if we continue talking about grazing and complementing, when you do your formulations, especially for Canadian region, besides the pasture, can you tell us a little bit about your experience with the ingredients they have there? So maybe our audience can visualize what are the top things that you will think when you're doing your formulation for your clients around your area.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Well, in Canada, the nutrients, well, the feeds that I am using right now, they are slightly different than I was using in Colombia. Here, the pastures that they have are usually like native grasses. They have lots of it. They have lots of alfalfa grass. So that would be like the main, in the cow-calf operation, that would be the main forages. And for the feedlot side, we will have lots of barley silage. We will have lots of corn silage. It's most barley, but we have some corn silage. And for the grains, we will have, the most popular one is barley. That would be the first one for sure. The second one, you can have some corn grain. Sometimes you will have oats.
Oh, okay.
You will mix that with the Steeler's grains. That would be one from that we use as a protein source. And then all the mineral salt and those kind of stuff. That's in the west side of Canada, right? Because if you go to the east, I'm not working there. I'm located in Alberta right now. So I deal with Alberta, Saskatchewan, and even some Manitoba producers. But if you go to Ontario and Quebec, you will find different types of feeds there for sure. That's another industry.
Great, perfect. So I think the message to people there in our audience is that, you know, that you always have to adapt based on the availability of your feed ingredients, based on the forage that you have. And at the end, it's kind of like go back to those basics with water, conditions, and ingredients. But as we speak into that, why don't we just go a little bit more in terms of what do you think will be key things besides this to help you optimize feed efficiency when you formulate for any beef cattle operation, all the way from preparation of the TMRs and all that type of stuff, just to get you a little bit of our audience to think beyond that. What are the things that you have to kind of keep in mind if you're a farmer or a rancher?
Well, if you're a farmer or a rancher, the first thing is like know what you will be having as feeds. Like again, like if you have corn silage, will be so different than barley silage. So the first thing that you need to do is like go and do an analysis, a test for that, for those ingredients that you have. And after that, again, you will see what types of feed are available close to you to mix with the forages. If you are a producer, that would be great because you have the grain for yourself. So sometimes some of the farmers will have the forages, and also will grow barley, for example. So they will include barley in that, in those diets. So yeah, the forages, the test of those forages, then the grains that are, you are going to use, the prices of those feeds, because obviously you can always, you're always looking into the lowest cost formulation and the more efficiency one, right? And then after that, we will do a formula considering the requirements of your animals, right? Because it would be different if you're feeding a calf, or if you're feeding a cow, a breed cow, or a milk producing cow, right? So that would be different. And considering those requirements, we will be the formula. And then the next step is to do the mix in a proper way, like depending of what type of, if you are doing like a TMR, depending of the, if it's a horizontal mixer or a vertical mixer, it would be a little slightly different, right? You have to be aware of the particle size of the forages, because if it's not well done, you will have some sorting from the animal. So some of them will eat more forages and some of them will eat more grains. So those kind of stuff are the basic things to consider.
Great. No, this is great information, and I'm pretty sure this is well taken by our audience. And then, of course, for our audience, please visit our site, wisenetics.com, and learn more about all of our other podcast segments like poultry, swine, dairy, beef like this one, feed mail, and of course, also pet food. Juan Carlos, this is great information, and we know that you have a very diverse background coming from two different parts of the continental America, seeing different type of ingredients and weather. And we appreciate that information.
It's time for our famous three.
So based on your technical knowledge and your experience, do you have any particular or favorite book that you might, or resource to, that you might help somebody who's not an expert in rumen nutrition to say, hey, look into this area if you want to learn more, or place that you could visit, like a website or university, whatever it is, to learn more about this? Because, you know, when you think about beef cow production, it's a little bit less information compared to, say, poultry or other areas. So what would be those, like, book or website that you will recommend somebody to learn more about?
Perfect. No, that's pretty good questions. When I was doing my undergraduate work, some of the books that I have read, some like Nutrition Ecology of the Ruminant from Peter Van Sost, that's a pretty good one, because it shows you the basics of the how is a ruminant built, how that ruminant works biologically speaking. That's a pretty good one to understand what's happening there. For like nutritionists and for understanding about the nutrients, the NRC, it's a really good book. They are like updating some information usually, like very often. And they have their like equations to understand like the nutrition, but also they will explain like deficient, what happens when you're deficient on calcium, what happens if you are on the other side, like not deficient, but excess of protein or excess of any mineral, selenium or cobalt or those kind of stuff. So you will understand what happens when you have lack or something, or you're exceeding something, right? So that's a good one to understand that. For resources, when you're like trying to search something in particular, though, there are good web pages of the universities, like extensions. Like if you go like for example, University of Arkansas Extension or Pennsylvania University Extension, they write really good articles to find like basic but really good information. Those are my recommendations.
Perfect. And I'm familiar with I'm familiar with some of those books that you mentioned, and I think they're great. Not in my background, so I appreciate your explanation on that. So, well, and then besides this area, any other book or resources outside of your work that you will recommend, let's say a young professional that is trying to learn more, grow, what will be your focus or resources that you will recommend? Hey, like any topic that you think can help somebody grow their career.
There's a book that I actually enjoy too much. And it's like the topics are like reflection and think about life and those kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And the book is called El Loco. And in English, it would be The Crazy Man from Gibran Khalil. And it's a really good book because it's not a history itself. It's made by short histories. Every page has a single history, a single tale story. And it will make you think about that story and do lots of reflections about life and circumstances that you go by when you're, through this life.
Great. I think this is a great recommendation, and I will actually check it on myself, El Loco, or The Crazy in English. So I think that's always, because we're always looking to learn more besides our daily work and in agriculture and animal production. So with that, Juan Carlos, thank you very much for your participation. I'm pretty sure that the audience and myself have enjoyed it. We have learned some important things on beef and dairy nutrition. And with that, once again, thank you very much. And with that, concludes another episode of the Feed Science podcast presented by WiseNetics. Thank you for joining us today. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast to stay updated on future episodes. And if you enjoyed today's episode, please leave us a review. Your feedback for us is very valuable. Until next time, this is Carlos Campabadal from the Feed Science Podcast signing off. Thank you.
Do you feel overwhelmed with mundane tasks that eat up your valuable time? It's time to reclaim your schedule and focus on what truly matters. Get your time back with elite remote talent from Brazil without a time zone hassle. Delegate $10 an hour tasks to focus on more $1,000 an hour tasks. Schedule your free strategy call at wisevas.io.